to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here.
I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Time. You ought to hold to His hand. Build your hope eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Father God, we thank You for another day's journey. Thank You, O God, that we have You every day of our lives. We can hold on to Your unchanging hand. Thank You that You're God yesterday, today, and forever. You'll never change. And we thank You for Your consistency. Thank You for Your stability. Thank You for being the rock of our foundation. Lord, we thank You for this day that we've been able to share, a day that You custom made for us to embrace and enjoy Your goodness. Thank You for this worship encounter, this time of sharing with You. We pray, oh God, that You will heal us, forgive us, save us, whatever we have need of, that You will do those things for us at this hour as we're in Your presence. How sweet it is to be loved by You. Lord, we just thank You for Your love today. You love us not because of, but in spite of. Haven't done always right, but You love us. Haven't dotted our I's and crossed all of our T's, but yet You still love us. You love us so much that You just don't let us stay in that same shape. And Lord, we just thank You for Your correction, Your challenges that You bring us through and bring us out of every day of our lives. Now, Father, we ask that You will share a word with us, Your Holy Spirit. I yield all my members to You now, God, asking You to have Your way, that You will anoint these lips of clay. Speak, Father, Your unsearchable riches, that which You will have for us to know at this hour of our lives. We count it all joy, even right now, knowing that Your word will be deposited in good ground. It will take root, Father, and grow great fruit thereof. We're excited about what's going to come as a result of Your word going forth, Your word being implanted in your sons and your daughters. And we bless You even now. Thank You, O God, for Your Son Jesus, our elder brother, who gave His life one Friday evening that we might have eternal life with You. He didn't stay dead, O God. You got Him up that Sunday morning with all power in His hands, O Father. And Father, we believe now that that same resurrection power is available to all of us. So we ask, O God, that You resurrect our home, resurrect our body, resurrect our family,
Resurrect our church. Resurrect our community in the name of Jesus. And we'll bless you in advance for what you're about to do for your children. We praise you. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. All across the room, the church said amen. Come on, give God a praise like you know He is worthy of it all. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We greet you today in a name that is unlike any other name. The name that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. We come to you today in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. We greet you today in His name and divine love. This is the day the Lord has made, and we have a responsibility and the opportunity to rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't God all right? Isn't God wonderful? Isn't He great? Isn't He mighty? Isn't He holy? Amen. Amen. To all of our ministers that are here in the pulpit, in the pew, and to officers and members of this body, and to all of you, my Father's children, good morning to all of you. We thank God for your presence here and sharing with us in this worship encounter with you. We thank you for taking time to come and share with us and worship with us, to worship a great God together. How wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. We are so grateful to God for this day. We thank God for our music ministry blessing us already today. Amen. Amen. Blessed us so richly already today. There is a word from the Lord we want to share with you. With the Lord's help, your amens, we'll be able to do it today. There is a word from the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 1. St. Mark, chapter 1. New Testament passage of scripture. The gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 1. We want to commence reading at verse number 40 and a few of the following. St. Mark chapter 1, and commence at verse number 40. We ask that those who are physically able, would you stand with us for the reading of God's word? Amen. So good to see all of you today in the house of the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Hold on. Hold on. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I know it's tough on you right now, but hold on. Amen. Nobody knows, you think, but the Lord knows. Amen. Amen. The Lord knows. Don't you dare give up on God now. I got a sneaky suspicion and a funny feeling that He wouldn't bring you this far to leave you now, would He? So you just got to trust He's got something in store for you. In the morning, ain't that right? In the sweet by and by. And that by and by is not always when you go to heaven. Your by and by might just be around the corner. Just hold on a little while longer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hold on. Amen. St. Mark chapter 1, commencing at verse number 40, and through the following, the word of God reads thusly. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And He straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. If you look at the true definition of that, he began to publish it much, he went to go preach, and to blaze abroad the matter. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Blessed are those who read, hear, and apply God's holy word. The word of God for the people of God. I want to tag this text this morning, Becoming a Contagious Christian. I want to talk to you today about becoming a contagious Christian. What we're in right now is what is known as, still, I believe, in flu season, flu and cold season. And this is the time where we take the necessary precautions. We were actually told, many ministers were actually told in the setting, to be careful about telling folks to turn to your neighbor, because during this time of year, ain't nobody finna turn their neighbor. They're not finna shake a neighbor's hand, they're not finna hug a neighbor, because it's flu season. And they don't want to get sick trying to touch a neighbor and try to do church because it's flu and cold season. Then I think it's with the coronavirus that comes out that's in China. And we don't know if it's going to get here through our mail or through some type of airborne devices or mechanism. I think it's another one they say has come out that might be somewhere around Louisiana. I don't know the name of that. All these different viruses and precautions that we take because we don't want to get sick. We don't want to be infected. We don't want any damage done to us because of contact with sick people. Don't want to get too close. Don't want them invading our personal space because if they invade our personal space, they get too close, we might get what they have. And we can sometimes have done everything right, eating the vegetables, and we wearing the right protective gear, got your head covered even though it's cold and warm, and wearing the necessary undergarments. You know, old school, you got to wear necessary undergarments. This time of year, you just ought not go out and not have the proper undergarments on anytime it's under 50. And so we're taking all the precautions. When you cough, we don't cough anymore with our hands. We now go into the crevice of our arm and we cough. That's proper. That's proper. That's not, you don't just cough in your hand no more. People will tar and feather you. They find you coughing like that because that's not sanitary. And so most of us keep Germex. You got Germex right now in your purse, in your pocket, and you're waiting on somebody to touch you who didn't look or seem like they too clean because you finna get right there and you finna get to rubbing your hand with that Germex because that Germex is gonna get rid of whatever they got that done got on you. And it makes us be, and there's nothing wrong, I believe we ought to take precautions, I think we should do that. But I wonder this morning what would happen if we would spread love like we're worrying about spreading germs. I wonder what happened if we could spread joy. If we're worrying about spreading germs, I wonder what happened. We worry about spreading peace and victory and a good word or a kind deed. What would happen if we began to spread that type of stuff as opposed to being concerned about spreading germs? Then I wonder, what if we were to allow people to love us instead of being worried about them spreading germs? What if we would allow people to be there for us instead of us worrying about them putting something on me? Or what if I would allow people to be a blessing to me instead of me being worried about them trying to hoodoo me? You got to be careful this morning, child of God, about getting yourself spiritual paranoia. Because God is not going to come and just touch you by himself physically. That most of the time, God is going to use men, women, boys, and girls to be a blessing to all of us. And then God is going to use you as a man, woman, boy, or girl to be a blessing to others. But how can you be the very best God wants you to be and you can't be touched? And you can't touch anybody else. And God has called for us in this season of our life to learn how to be contagious Christians. God says for us that we've got to spread it forward. We've got to pay it forward. And in our text this morning, we're looking at this brother, this leper, who has heard about Jesus. In chapter 1, Jesus has driven out demons. He has healed Peter's mother-in-law. He's gotten fever out of the house. He's challenged the authorities. He is healing many people all night long. He's gone away to pray. He's talked to his disciples. And now he's traveling, preaching around throughout Galilee. And one day, this man, this leper, hears about Jesus coming by. And he takes a chance. He goes, asks Jesus to heal him. And Jesus says, I'll heal you. And Jesus touches a leper. I'm going to unpack that in a minute. But Jesus touches a leper and cleanses the leper. He heals him. And the man is so excited. He's so grateful for what God has done and what the Lord has done for him that he runs to go tell the world how good God has been. But that's the story in a sense. But I want to unpack it and show you some stuff about how we can become the contagious Christian that we need to be. Amen. Are y'all with me? Yeah. All right. So we're looking now at this leper. This leper, brothers and sisters, if anybody has ever studied a leper, it's a severe skin disease. It is an outward manifestation of what's going on the inside. It's something not being right in you, and it's coming on outside of you. Has anybody else been there before? You know, really, some of the stuff that we're doing on the outside really ain't what it is. It's because something is going on the inside. And so these lepers, brothers and sisters, they've got scales, they've got sores, they've got pus, they've got white sores all over their skin. They are shown to be very ugly and very vile and very nasty. the lepers are so ugly and so gruesome, that their situation is so miserable, but according to the book of Leviticus, that they have got to now wear mourning clothes. And they've got to not comb their hair, they got to mat up their hair on a regular basis. And then they've got to cover their top lip. And anytime they come across somebody who's not a leper, they got to shout out, unclean, unclean, unclean. They got to let you know, don't get close to me because I got problems. Don't get close to me because I'm messed up. Don't get close to me because I got this issue. And if you get too close, you might get just like me. And lepers are called, according to the Jews, they were called ceremonially unclean. And they were now isolated. Now, we're looking at leprosy as a physical standpoint, but I want you to look at it spiritually. Because leprosy physically represents sin spiritually. It is what sin does to you and I. So just because you don't have the marks, just because you ain't got the scars, just because you ain't got the sores, just because you ain't got the outward show, don't mean you ain't messed up in here this morning. Just because you don't look like you jacked up, don't mean you not jacked up. Now, some of us done put on some real good church clothes. We looking real good this morning. But if people were really look inside of us, they would see we got some leprosy too. We got some stuff that ain't right with us. We got some thoughts that ain't right with us. Will you let God help you on a Sunday morning? It's some stuff we think about that just ain't right. I wonder if people knew who they were sitting next to. Well, boy. I wonder if you really knew who you sitting next to, you wouldn't sit next to them. If you knew what they were capable of, see, what you see is an outward view of it. It's a lot of stuff we do to cover our stuff, to cover our pain, to cover our evidence. But the true reality of it is, y'all, that sin is still present. And many of us, most of what's going on with us is because we have been afflicted by sin and we are inflicted with sin. It came from Satan, but we ain't got rid of it. Because it's going to take some work to deal with the sin that comes into your life. And sometimes, y'all, you just can't pretend as though sin ain't trying to attack you. Matter of fact, your shout this morning is, if the devil is coming after me, that means I do belong to God. Because if the devil ain't trying to bother your home, if he ain't trying to bother your body, if he ain't trying to bother your mind, you must already belong to the devil. So your first shout this morning is, if I'm under attack, that must mean the devil is still the enemy and he is not my friend. Who is on the Lord's side this morning? So don't be dismayed this morning, but you've got to deal with the reality of sin. And God comes to free us, y'all, from trying to pretend as though we don't have to deal with sin. And these lepers, brothers and sisters, had to deal. It is a representation of sin. Here it is. Number one, because it's called sin is deep-rooted. It reflects something that's wrong on the inside. I told you now that all you see, all you know they're a leper by looking at them, but it's a reflection of what's going on inside of them. They are ceremonially unclean. They done committed so much sin, according to the Jews, that God has now made them look bad. Lord have mercy. Well, we want to talk bad about the lepers, but we just like that. Right? Some of us this morning done some weird stuff this week, and we showed up to church like we really done right. We done dotted our I's and crossed our T's. We got our hands lifted up. We're shouting to God, but we really, if the truth be told, it's some stuff that happened on the inside. It's some stuff you done thought this week that's just not really right. If the truth be told. All right? So one aspect of the leprosy is it's deep-rooted. It's deep. It's a skin issue, but it's something with a sin issue. It's something going on with their heart that's making this happen. And then secondly, what sin does to you, sin is a heart problem, right? Sin ain't no what deed problem. Sin is a heart problem. Yeah, Lord. Sin ain't what I'm doing. Sin is what caused me to do it. Oh, my God. If I had time, I'll deal with that, y'all. Because it's not about the deed, it's not about the fruit, it's about the root. And I got to stop dealing with you just because you sold drugs. I got to figure out why you selling drugs.
I need to figure out why you lying. I need to figure out why you cheating. I got to find out why you're doing that. I can't just deal with the fact that you're doing it. I want to know why. I need the Lord to search me. I need the Lord to see what's going on with me. Search me, Lord. Shine a light from heaven on my soul. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and straighten me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. Search me, Lord. But I don't know today if we really want people to search us. If you want the Holy Ghost to search us, tell me I'm fine, Holy Ghost. Tell me I'm okay, Holy Ghost. We normally ask for stuff, but we don't ask the Lord to cleanse us, to heal us of our own mess and affliction. And so the one aspect of that leprosy, y'all, and the sin problem is that it's deep-rooted. It's deep within. So it is reflected that the lepers got some internal problems. Secondly, what it does to them is that it defiles them. It isolates them from everybody else. Because lepers, because they were so ceremonially unclean, because they're so poisonous, they had to live away from society. They had to be taken from their families. They had to be taken from what they know as normal until they could get themselves right. They had 7 days to go back and show the priest. And the priest, if the priest, they still had those marks on them, the priest say, nope, go back out there. Keep giving sacrifices because you ain't got it right yet. You still looking like you got them sores on you. And so they kept constantly were isolated. They were isolated from society. That's what sin does. Sin separates you from folk. Can I unpack that real quick? Has anybody ever been so inflicted with sin that you think people see your sin and don't see you? And you'll start staying away from people. You will isolate yourself. You'll be so shamed. You'll be so filled with guilt that you'll stay away from church. You'll stay away from your help. You'll stay away from people who can be a blessing to you. You just sit up in that house and you'll just close those curtains and you'll sit there and just mope. And you'll sit there and just wallow. You'll sit there and just think. You'll sit there and just reason because you're so full of sin, and sin done got you thinking that nobody love you. Sin got you thinking that they will never forgive you for this. Sin got you thinking that God ain't gonna bring you out of this. You done something that wrong that God ain't gonna bring you back out, and it isolates you from people. And when people come to your house and people want to bless you and they'll say, what's wrong with you? You'll say nothing. People say, come on and have ice cream with us. No, I'm good. People want to come and say, how you doing? I don't feel like talking right now. People call and check on you. You block their phone call because sin got you thinking that it's nobody but you in this world, and you in this world by yourself. That's what sin will do to you. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It's deep-rooted. It's deep-rooted. Isolates you. Defiles you. Puts you away. It marks you. And this is what the characteristics of the leper. Displaced from society, picked on, laughed at, with internal problems that's not gonna come out externally. That's what it does. That's what sin does. That's what sin does to us. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. And we gotta deal with the fact that sometimes it's just sin. It's not the devil, really. I don't wanna deal with the sin in my life. Because I'm trying to pretend because I'm so holy that I ain't got to overcome some stuff. That I ain't got faults. That I don't need God to help me, to give me strength. Because I'm weak for certain things. I'm weak for certain people. And Lord, if you don't keep me, I can't keep myself. And instead of us being honest about that, we keep falling into the same thing. Instead of asking God to help us. Because we want to pretend as though we ain't got to deal with sin. We'll come to the help station. Come to the help station. We come to this house of God. And because I'm worried about other lepers looking at me, I won't even ask for help and try to get it any better. I'll just stay quiet because I think my leprosy ain't as bad as yours. And here we are all being pushed aside from society altogether. But that's good news, y'all. Jesus still somewhere shows up. He shows up. And if you're going to become a contagious Christian, the first thing you got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is you got to seek out Christ's presence. You got to seek out Christ's presence. Did I tell you now that Jesus is passing by? Jesus is going around preaching. And this leper seeks out Christ. He hears about the great signs and wonders. He hears about the great miracles that Jesus is performing, and so he's looking for Jesus. Y'all missed that? He's messed up. He's jacked up. He's isolated. He's got sores. He's got scabs. He don't look good. When he come across good people, he have to tell them, don't deal with me. Wait a minute. He's isolated from society. He's isolated from what he needs to be around. And so he's hanging around other folk who just as messed up as him. Because he fears that he won't be accepted by Christ. He now settles for something less than his best because he feels like he can't do any better. But Jesus passes by. And this leper says, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. Wait a minute, leper. You can't come up to Jesus. You are unclean. He ain't going to touch you. He not even going to talk to you because you unclean. But you know what this leper says? What you and I better start saying? I'll take my chances. I wish I had two or three people. I'd be number four. Who's going to say in their life, no, I don't have everything together. No, everything ain't the way it ought to be. Yes, I am messed up. Yes, my marriage is in shambles. Yes, I am sick. Yes, I am broke. Yes, I am divorced. Yes, I got laid off, but I'll take my chances. It can't get no worse. It can only get better. I'll go and give Jesus a chance because everything else ain't been working. So I have about 10 people who go testify today, I'll take my chances. What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose by giving Jesus a chance, but you got everything to gain. So I have 5 people who are willing to give Jesus a chance. I don't have nothing to lose, but I got everything to gain. I'm already sick. I'm already broke. I'm already put out. When he gonna put me back out? I'm already out. The only thing that can happen to me is he'll bring me in. I'll take my chance. I ain't gonna come to church and pretend like I don't need the Lord. I might be preacher and all. I might be the bishop, but I need the Lord. I don't care about y'all laughing at me. I don't care about y'all looking at me. I don't care about y'all mocking me. I'll take my chances. How y'all gonna laugh at me? Your clothes tore. How you gonna laugh at me? Your hair messed up. How you gonna laugh at me? You just as unclean as I am. The only difference between me and you is I'm getting out of here. I'm not gonna stay in this same shape. I'll take my chances. I wish y'all had that this morning. I wish y'all had, because if y'all really got that this morning, y'all be turning them pews over. As much hell as you've been going through, as much stuff you've been fighting, you mean to tell me you're going to come through all this and sit up in God's house and be in his presence, and you won't lift your hand, you won't say amen, you won't shout out to God, you won't reach out to him, all the hell you're going through, I'll take my chance. Y'all too cute for me. I need some lepers besides me who ain't too cute, who ain't too proper. Do I have any other lepers who know what it's like to be left out, who know what it's like to be stepped on? But I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'll take my chance. The Lord done showed up. You think I ain't going? The answer to my problem showed up. You think I ain't going? The help that I need done showed up. You think I ain't going? You think I'm gonna let your dirty look stop me? You think I'm gonna let your rules stop me? You gonna think I'm gonna let your law stop me? I'm going to Jesus. I don't have any pride. My pride has been stripped from me. And that's what's wrong with some of us right now. You're still trying to hold on to pride and don't have any power. And without power, you don't have any pride. I don't have no pride. I need his presence. I'm looking for Jesus. I want to talk to four people, I'll be number five, who woke up this morning with intentions to find Jesus up in this place. And I ain't leaving till me and Jesus have a meeting. I ain't leaving till me and Jesus make contact. I'm not getting out of here till me and Jesus have some time. What's the worst can happen? I'm already messed up. I'm trying to prove a point to other lepers. And they in the worst shape than I'm in. And some of us in this room won't give him ourselves and won't give him us because I'm trying to impress other lepers. And I got to speak prophetically to somebody. If you would just come see Jesus, the mother lepers go follow you to him. Somebody got to say, we got to get better than this. Somebody's got to say, let's go find something else. Y'all remember them lepers and kings back in the Kings? They said, look, we ain't here dying now. We might well go on in the gate there and try to find out and see what's the worst can happen. What's the worst? At least we'll be filled. At least we won't be hungry anymore. If you ain't ashamed of your sin, don't be ashamed to come get out of it. We're not ashamed about sinning, but we are ashamed of how to get out of sin. You better stop letting folk intimidate you from getting your blessing. They're going to talk about you whether you do something better for yourself. They're going to talk about you if you don't try to do better for yourself. Long as they got mouths, they're going to talk.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're going to do that.
Seek out. You got to seek out his presence. And the man came to Jesus. The leper came to Jesus. Y'all missed it. And he kneeled down in front of him. And watch what the man says to him. He says, if you can. Wait a minute, I don't know. I don't doubt that you can. I just want to know if you will. Oh. Oh. Because I don't doubt his power. I just know I don't deserve it. So I'm not asking if you can. I'm just asking if you will. Is there anybody else in the house this morning who don't mind saying, Lord, I know you can, but today I want to ask you if you will. Don't you dare doubt his power. You are evidence. You are proof of the power of God. You need to seek now God's will. He ain't got to do nothing else for you to prove to you that he's your God. But now you got to start seeking his will. Wait a minute. He done walked up on Jesus. And Jesus done let him kneel down. And then he didn't let him talk to him. I thought you was unclean. And the Lord didn't let you come in his house. I just did all this stuff last night. I did all this stuff last week. Everybody know my business. And the Lord let me show up in his house, sit at his altar, and still talk to him. Here's my question. Why ain't nobody else kneeling? Because there's a crowd following Jesus. But some folk just following him because of what he can do. I need to see some people who kneeling because of who he is. Y'all missing me. Y'all missing me. I know he'll feed me. I know he'll take care of me. So I want to spend time in his presence seeking his will. I know you can if you will. You can make me clean. Y'all missed it. He did not ask him to heal me. Y'all ain't got it. This leper who's got outward stuff that's showing what's wrong with him did not ask the Lord to take the scars away. Don't take the scabs away. Don't take the ugliness away. What I need you to do, Father, is to cleanse me, because this is just a result. I don't need him to heal me till he cleanses me, because if he don't cleanse me, I'll never get healed. See, that's what's wrong with some of us. We don't want symptoms. We don't want the symptoms. We don't want nothing getting out about who we really are. We don't want it getting out about what you're really all about. And so you're asking God to take the outward stuff away. But I want to talk to four people for the first time in your life. Lord, cleanse me, and I won't want to do that. I won't want to lie. I don't want to steal. I don't want to kill. See, some of us got to understand this. It's okay to have some scars, because it's a reminder for you where God brought you from. Scars are a symbol that somebody been healed and cleansed. And many of us try to cover the scar, but you ain't got rid of the pain. You still got a jacked up view about men. Yeah. You still got a jacked up view about women. You still got a jacked up view about love, but you want God to heal you and give you another man. Give you another woman so you can look like you happy. Lord, make me clean. Not Lord, make me happy. Lord, make me clean. Give me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Don't just pay my bills. Don't just fight my battle. Why don't I let him be God of all the external and never let him do nothing on the inside of me? Somebody ought to be tired of being grouchy. Somebody ought to be tired of being hateful. Somebody ought to be tired of being jealous hearted. Somebody ought to be tired of being contrite. Somebody ought to be tired of being contrary. Some stuff you ought to be tired of. Because this attitude get in trouble. This attitude got you isolated. It ain't your anointing got folk not want to fool with you. It's your attitude got you not want nobody want to fool with you. Because you won't let the Lord cleanse you. You ain't all that.
And so you seek out his presence. And the man sits down, he kneels down before him and says, I know you can. I'm asking if you will, clean me. Jesus is moved with compassion, not just because the man came and asked him, but the man actually know who he is. He actually know what the Lord came to do. Because everybody else running behind Jesus for healing. This man come to him for cleansing. Lord have mercy. Y'all missed. I know y'all upset about that, because some of us came to this altar for the Lord to do some stuff for me. You came for the Lord to do something for you. But I bet a majority didn't come to ask the Lord to do something in me. And why would he do something for and he can't do nothing in? Because if he don't do nothing in you, you're going to mess up what he do for you. And then you'll be right back here next week asking him to do something else for you. But when he do something in you, it's some stuff you can do for. You got to seek out his presence. Then secondly, you got to submit to Christ's process. If you're going to be a contagious Christian, you got to submit to his process. Look what happens. Jesus says, I will. It is my will to cleanse you. Now, be made clean. Be made whole. Wait a minute. What kind of process is that? Wait a minute. He reached out his hand. He touched me. And he talked to me. Wasn't no oil. Ain't no Jordan River. I've been a leper all this time. I've been living this in this pain, been living this misery. I've been in isolation. I done come up to the Lord. I done gave him the right, I done came the right way to him. I done kneeled down before him. I know you can. I ask if you will. Okay. Be clean. I'm going to try one more time, third time the charm. I'm a leper, full of sin. You done got me to the point, I'm admitting my sin. I ain't been admitting my sin. I've been just saying it's somebody else doing it to me. But I done came to you today, Jesus, and told you it's me. I know that you can. I'm asking if you will. I done kneeled down. I done got in the right position and posture. I'm worshiping you and come seeking your will. And all you gonna do for me is touch me and talk to me. Somebody in this church right now messed up because you want to feel it. Wow. Something got a hold on me. Oh, yes, it did. I say something. Got a hold. I went to a meeting one night. My heart wasn't right. Something got a hold on me. Yeah. You're right. Something did get a hold of you. It just wasn't Jesus. Because he don't get a hold of you. He dwells. Do you realize, this ain't no shout point here, you have no idea how powerful God's word is. And if the Lord's presence and the Lord's promise ain't enough, you ain't gonna get nothing else. I know it. If worship and the word don't move you, you cannot be moved. I got to stop getting frustrated because Jesus don't do nothing amazing. It's amazing that he let you even get through it. Because I just told you, you ceremonially unclean. He's a Jew. by law, you ain't supposed to come to him or talk to him. So he done allowed you to breathe his air. That's amazing. He allows you to get to his house. That's amazing. He done gave you a right mind. That's amazing. He done put a roof over your head. That's amazing. Wait a minute. He done all this without you, with you halftime loving him, with you halfway being a part of him, with you halfway serving him. That's amazing. But you want something amazing. He says, be thou clean. Here's the problem, church. Plus, church folks gonna get in trouble about the process. You can't reach who you won't touch. I'll preach by myself. That's all right. I knew y'all won't go like that one. You can't reach who you won't touch. Most of what we need to do to get people saved, they're within reach. Problem is, we think they so dirty. They so messed up, and we don't want them messing up our clean agenda. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch the text. Watch the text, you got your Bible open? Watch the text. Jesus touches the man. We've been worried about the man touching Jesus. Oh, somebody help me preach. Jesus touched the man. All law talked about was the man touching Jesus. Because our faith is so shallow that we think touching folk is going to make us lose our faith. And if you touching somebody go cause you to lose everything God gave you, you ain't have very much in the first place. Oh, I don't go there. Right? Oh, my spirit gets moved. Oh, I can't go there. I just get, oh, something happens to me. Every time I get around them, I just get jumpy. I get irritated in my spirit. I get so messed up in my spirit. Oh, I can't deal with that environment that, oh, something happens. If you can't handle going somewhere, hanging around sinners, first of all, you can't even deal with you. And that's probably the problem, is you, it ain't them. I'm finna get through, y'all. I'm finna get through. You can only be a Christian in the building. You ain't no Christian. Wait a minute. You ain't got no business touching Jesus. But what happened? What do you do by Jesus touching you? Did it ever occur to you that it's not about you getting defiled, it's about you getting delivered? That me touching Jesus ain't gonna make Jesus look bad. Me touching Jesus gonna make Jesus get in me. And Jesus is secure in his power and his sovereignty as the Lord, and so he can touch anything and it won't mess him up. And if you ain't comfortable in your own salvation, that you can't go and speak life to darkness, and you can't go and be an ambassador for the kingdom, the only way you can be somebody is in the church, you ain't got too much. Oh, the very stench of alcohol. The very stench. Because I asked God to take that away from me. I've been delivered for 25 years. And I asked the Lord to take the stench. So when I get around it, something happens. I just get sick. And I feel like I'm going to regurgitate when I smell the very stench of alcohol. But the family reunion in July, you got hammered. Your daddy got hammered. Papa got hammered. Big mama was hammered. And you ain't leave. I mean, toe down. And it ain't bother you. Now you too deep. Jesus touched him And he talked to him. Be thou clean. You're made whole. Because he submitted to Christ's process, not the church's process. You're not a Christian until you go through his process. If he can't touch you, he can't trust you. And you got to be touchable. Let him teach you some stuff. You got to come to him like you don't know anything. And grow in your walk as a disciple. Because here's what happens. And it happens in the text. The man gets excited. Oh, man, I looked at my hands. My hands look new. Looked at my feet. They did too. Ooh, I feel better. I look so much better. Ooh, I don't look like a leper no more. Ooh. I'm starting to feel better. That's us. We pray for you, the Lord, you know, it work out, and you feel better. And you got all this on you. And now it ain't all on you no more. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get back into society. I'm going right back to the folk who wouldn't. I went right back to the ones who laughed at me. And I'm going to show them. You said I wasn't nothing. Look at me now. The man went to go preach. Jesus tells him, don't go say anything. First thing you do is go show yourself to the priest. Offer a sacrifice, and then deal with the process of the local church. You don't like it, you don't like it, you don't like it. If you're going to be changed, you got to go back through the church. Don't bypass the church because God done changed you. You got to go to the very folk who prayed with you to get delivered. Now, don't try to skip us out of the process now because you got what you wanted. We prayed with you for the house. You got the house and you stay there and won't come to the church. We prayed for you for the car. We believed and we helped you sow to get the car. And you won't even drive it up here. Now watch this. Jesus said, go show yourself. And if you're going to be a contagious Christian, you got to show forth Christ's power. Watch this. I said, do what? Show forth. I didn't say nothing. Y'all missed it. He done healed you. He done restored you. He done delivered you. Don't say nothing yet. He says, go show yourself. Because listen, according to Leviticus, the priest had to call you a leper. The priest had to say you're unclean. So now when Christ has touched you, you go right back to that same priest who said you're unclean, and now he confirms you as clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't getting it now. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all done shut it down. I see what's happening. You go to the priest. The priest told you you're unclean. Get out. Now you got to go right back to that same priest when he saved you, and that priest say, you're clean. Come on in. And you go through the rite, you go through the ritual, go through the process. You have two birds, and you put them in jars, and you sacrifice one, the blood from one, you put in the other jar. You take the oil, take the blood from that one, put it on that sacrifice's ear that symbolizes the word of God. Put it on his hand that symbolizes the walk with God, work of God, and put it on his foot that symbolizes the walk with God. You got to go through the process with the word, and now I said oil and blood. The blood that has been shed now has oil. And the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, along with the word, is in your ear. And the Holy Spirit now is on your hand and will bless your work. And now the Holy Spirit is on your foot and will bless you when you walk. That's why you got to go back and submit yourself to the process, because without going through the process, you cannot have the power of the Holy Spirit. So you got to submit. Somebody say submit. To Christ's power. Show forth Christ's power. He says, go show yourself. This man messed up ministry. He meant well. And a lot of us mess up with good intentions. But the man messed up because he went preaching out of season. Oh, man. He felt good. And he was feeling good. He just, you know how we are. I just couldn't keep it to myself. I had to go tell somebody how good God been to me, how he made a way for me, how he opened doors for me. But that ain't what the Lord told you to do. And if you're going to be a contagious Christian, you got to learn how to be obedient. Stop letting your zeal cause you to be disobedient. I'm just on fire. I got to do something. Sit down and listen to what the Lord tell you to do. I'm going to get in trouble now. Because we got a lot of publishers in the house. There's a lot of preachers in the house who got to go tell it and ain't shown it. Yeah, you got to say something, but you ain't shown nothing. This ain't no shouting board here. And if you're going to be a contagious Christian, because listen, y'all, he done changed you. And it's important, y'all, if anybody who's been through surgery, you understand this, when you've been cut open, you're vulnerable. Your immune system has been attacked, and you're vulnerable to anything. That's why he just told you, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't tell you go to the highways and byways, because you're going to mess around and get yourself sick again. I just got to tell it. I just got to tell it. That ain't what he told you to do yet. I'm like Jeremiah. It was like fire shut up my mouth. You ain't Jeremiah. You're you. And he just told you, go, don't tell nobody. And he ain't got to explain to you why he tell you don't tell nobody. But if you really love him and grateful to him, do what he say do. You can't sit here and preach and tell of his goodness and don't do nothing he tell you. That cancels out the blessing because you hard-headed. Don't be holy and hard-headed. Boy, if you don't preach up in here, don't be holy and hard-headed at the same time. I know what the Bible, I know what you told me, but I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Shut up. Let your light so shine before men. Don't tell everybody you got a light.